Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Forever 35. This is a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. And I am Kate Spencer.
And I'm Dori Shafrir.
And no, we're not experts.
We're just two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
Serums, those things we put on our face. Dori, hi.
Kate, you are.
Why am I fired up?
So fired up.
I don't know what's gotten into me.
I'm into it.
You know what it is? It's because I don't have a contagious skin rash on my face anymore.
Oh my gosh. I should have congratulated you on that. I'm so sorry.
No, it was great. It was great. I had a crusty yellow skin rash that my children were scared of.
Do you feel like it made you a better person in the end?
I was like a good person for a day and then I returned to being a monster.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
It was not comfortable and I was very self-conscious about it. And it was one of those things that's not a big deal. So then you feel stupid for caring, but it was very uncomfortable.
You looked uncomfortable.
I was.
But I wouldn't have been like, ooh, that woman has something gross on her face. You know what I mean?
Thank you. It was impetigo is what it was.
And curable by antibiotics, right?
Yep. I'm so grateful for modern medicine because I kept slathering like Neosporin. I thought it was an allergic reaction to something.
Well, I remember on an episode you said you thought it was from a scrub.
And it wasn't.
And it wasn't.
No, it turns out.
So we maligned the scrub.
I felt guilty, actually, although I don't know. I don't know for sure because I used the scrub and then immediately the bumps appear. But... when I spoke with the doctor, the doctor was like, ugh. I was like, can I have a topical cream? And she's like, no, this needs antibiotics.
We got to bring out the big guns.
She's like, I only ever see this in children.
Oh, dear.
And my kids didn't have it or get it. But it's like if you have a small cut and then I had a cold and some of that mucus got in there.
You know what? Detective, skincare detective Dori on the case here. Here's what I think happened. I think when you were scrubbing away, you opened something up.
I created a wound.
Yes, you created a wound because your skin was already kind of raw from having a cold. And then that bacteria was like, yes, we have an opening.
Dug on in.
And they just went in and that was why it seemed immediate because that bacteria is fast acting.
I would have snorted the antibiotics if it had made it work faster because the... TMI, sorry, every listener. The infection went into my nostrils.
Oh.
So it was like a crusty, burny, itchy sensation all spreading. And every morning I'd wake up and it was just spreading across my cheeks further and further.
Oh, no.
So I'm very grateful for whatever it was that I took in pill form.
I'm happy for you, too.
I'm also excited because we have a voicemail number.
Yay!
We have a voicemail. You can call and leave us messages. Recommendations, drunk dial us, sober dial us.
You can even crank call us.
A prank is good.
Yeah.
Don't be creepy because I get scared.
Don't be creepy because Kate gets scared.
I'm a coward.
But I will laugh.
Product recommendations, questions, advice.
Yeah. Really, really anything. Even if, you know, if you're lonely,
I definitely have taken advantage of podcast call-in numbers before when I've been alone at night.
You know, Kate, when we were growing up, you could call the weather.
Radio stations.
You could call the time.
Yeah.
You could call movie phone. There were so many people to call if you were feeling sad.
Operator, just 411.
Yeah, 411. I feel like...
It is a weird comfort thing to call and have somebody answer.
Like, the idea of calling the time to me...
Yeah, somehow. Or the weather. You would call and get the weather.
But the weather at least feels like...
Right, like an unknown.
An unknown. Maybe, you know, you're not by a TV or, you know, whatever. You don't have the newspaper. You don't know what the weather... Like, how else were you supposed to find the weather? There was no internet.
But also a thing I did was I would
call... But the time?
But do you think operators still exist? Is that that's a business that's long gone? Because you would call zero and be like, can I have the number for Dori Shafrir?
That was 411.
Oh, but that was calling the operator.
But that was calling information.
Did you never just press zero and someone was there?
Zero was someone else. Listen, was not the information
somebody
lady.
Call into our voicemail and clarify who was zero and who was 411. I feel like 411
came in like... We need the 411 on 411.
I feel like 411 came in like 90.
Yeah, I think you're right. 411 was not
it was zero. I'm telling you. But I remember the 80s vaguely. So listen, here's our number. 781-591-0390. I'm going to repeat that.
Kate, say that again.
781-591-0390.
This will also be in the show notes.
Yes, we'll put it everywhere.
We'll put it everywhere.
I also just want to shout out all those 781 listeners. Yes, did I select the area code from where I grew up? You know I did.
Nicely done.
Metro West Boston, Massachusetts area code. We are in Los Angeles. Doesn't matter, but you know what?
I respect that.
Always got to shout out the dirty water.
And it is dirty.
It is disgusting. Don't go in the Charles River. Okay, so Dori, hi. Thanks to everybody who's reached out to us. We love getting your messages. It feels good to be seen.
We're feeling more and more seen every
day.
Witnessed. It's like as though we were ghosts, and every week like a little bit more of our aura is coming through
until we become a real person.
We've been teasing this exciting thing for 3 weeks. Should we just tell people what we're doing?
Do it,
guys. We're gonna be doing weekly mini episodes.
Sammy, have we told you that?
Sammy, surprise!
Gotta run this by Sammy, but we're gonna make mini episodes with questions and comments that people send in.
Because we were like, we need a special dedicated time to give to the Forever 35 listeners to really respond to everyone's questions.
And we're going to put some thought into the answers because we don't have all the answers.
Exactly.
But we've gotten a lot of questions numerous times. Definitely going to be tackling the have you tried the ordinary line question that we get a lot.
We get that a lot.
And we're eager to kind of answer it.
Yeah.
Because we have tried it.
Yeah.
Or are trying.
So, you know, barring catastrophe or another bout of impetigo...
oh no.
These should launch, I think, March 5th.
We better get cracking.
Yeah, better get cracking
on these sods.
So yeah, I'm excited. You guys should be excited.
We're also working on a newsletter which you can sign up for on our website, which is forever35podcast.com.
Yep. There's you'll get a pop-up. There's also a separate link to the mailing list. You can't miss it.
Listen, we're just creating content left and right.
Left and right.
Machines. And then, of course, our Facebook group is, I would also say, another thing that is off the chain.
Oh, yeah.
So please join us at Forever 35 Podcast over on Facebook. There's a little question that you have to answer to get into the group. I mean, it's not required, but it helps us know.
But it helps us,
it helps us
weed out suspect people.
Because there are a lot of bots living their best life on Facebook.
Yeah. It's like, also, when you join a group, if you're the admin of a group, it tells you when the person joined Facebook. So most of the people, it's like they joined between like 2004 and like 2009, the people who are joining our group. And then you'll have ones that are like, joined Facebook 1 hour ago. And like all their pictures are of like sunsets. And you're like,
I mean, they might be very big fans of self-care.
They might be.
We don't want to discriminate. But if you just answer a question, yes. which is what do we, Kate and Dory, like to talk about? The answer is serums.
Yeah.
But there are other things too.
We just told you. So it's facebook.com/groups/forever35podcast. If you just go to /forever35podcast, you will get our public page, which is great, but just doesn't have the same level of discussion.
Also, just want to add, there are now offshoot groups.
Yes.
Which is so freaking cool. There's one for swapping products. There's one about mental health. And then there's a book club, and they're reading
The Wedding Date.
Yay. Jasmine Guillory's book, which we love.
Yeah.
Is doing so well.
It's doing so well.
Oh my God, it's so good. You got to read that book, guys.
You got to read that book. And then you can talk about it with other Forever 35 listeners in the offshoot Facebook group.
And if you like us, okay, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and tell a friend, bring a friend into the Facebook group, join our ever-growing family of self-carrigans. That's a terrible. I should be punished.
I'm going to workshop that.
I'm going to leave. I think I'm done here. Self-carrigans? Nope. That's not what we're going to call ourselves. Do you like that, Dory? We don't have a podcast name. Like, one thing I love about certain podcasts is that they...
Like Murderinos.
Murderinos. Like a Natch Butte, they call themselves Honeys.
You know what? I think our name is going to evolve.
Or it's self-carrigans.
And I think it's going to choose us.
I'm ready for it. Kind of like you're just going to put it out into the universe. And then a name is, when it's ready, is going to manifest.
Exactly. And I think we're making that happen right now.
I'm feeling so silly today. I can't describe it, but I'm very giggly. Do we have any other things we need to let people know about?
Oh, just that reminder that all of the products we mention are always on our website, forever35podcast.com. And you can also follow us on Instagram at forever35podcast and on Twitter at forever35pod. That's the business.
Well, bye. Signing off. We're done. Just kidding. Again, I don't know why I'm so hyper
You are
today.
Loopy.
I am.
Maybe it's because
wacky.
We haven't actually seen each other in a couple weeks.
I know. This is nice.
Yay.
So in addition to my rash,
yeah,
I also had one of my kids had lice.
Oh.
So we also had that going on.
I feel like people with elementary school age kids, it's just like a lice factory.
It is. It's really... something else.
I mean, I remember having lice as a kid, but this feels next level to me.
I am starting. So in the past year, my family's had it 7 times. And this time I started to worry that there was something wrong with us, which is like everybody feels that way when you get lice. And there's nothing wrong with you. It's such a weird stigmatized thing to have. And really, it's just a bug to get in your hair that you comb out. It's not a big deal at all. But this time I was like, am I doing something wrong? Are my kids rubbing their heads on other kids' heads too much? I couldn't figure it out. I take all the precautionary steps that people take, tea tree oil, buns, a vacuum. I wash all the sheets. Anyway, just want you to know.
Do you know which child it comes in through?
Oh, yeah. That's the most fascinating thing. Well, this time I have 2 daughters. Only one had it this time.
Oh,
so she was the culprit.
Were you able to contain it?
I was.
Oh, good.
I'm now like a master of the comb.
I remember my mom used to pick them out and put them on masking tape.
Ooh, that's a good trick. I put them in water.
Because then if you put them on masking tape, you can see how many you've taken out.
Yes, your mom. I like it's almost like torture. I like
uh-huh.
it. No, you can tell because normally one has more. Normally what'll happen is one kid has a ton, the second kid has a little bit, and then I have one.
Oh
yeah, it often makes its way to me. Anyway, so that's just what's been going on. A lot of nuisance-y type things in my life that really aren't a big deal, but still make me feel crazy.
I feel like these things are a big deal.
Not really.
I mean, I know in the grand scheme life and the world and our problems, yes, not a big deal. But like in terms of being able to function, like feeling like a normal human being. These things are...
It does. The lice thing is challenging because then I have to keep a kid home from school and that throws off my work and that...
Right.
And that there is just... It
snowballs.
Triggers. Yes. Thank you. And I'm bagging pillows at 9 o'clock at night. I always figure it out too, like when they're about to go to bed.
Ugh.
And so then I end up combing their hair out and then I'm washing sheets and screaming at them. And so it's...
You know, I just realized something. You remember on an earlier episode, I was talking about how my mom really enjoyed popping my zits under this bright third degree light that she had above her bed. And I'm remembering now that that was also where she would remove the lice. And I think she got great satisfaction out of both the zit popping and the lice removal. And I think they are similar actions.
I wonder if she also loves like a good cutting of the fingernails. Does that kind of fall into that category?
No, it's...
Or like a plucking of the brows?
Plucking. She plucked her brows every night.
What?
Every night she plucked her brows.
What hairs were there? I mean, I'm a daily armpit shaver.
There were not many. She had very thin eyebrows. She has thin eyebrows. But that's... I hadn't thought about that. But she would pluck her eyebrows every night.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And now we're going to pause for a word from our sponsor.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there, the overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now, that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click Get Started, and then use our code FOREVER35 at sign up, and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college? When I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress.
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh, that sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With honey love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift. all while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
Sir.
My update, my life update this week is that my husband has been forced into self-care.
By you or he did it himself?
He did it himself. We just did another IVF round and had very bad results.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. And we were told by our doctor on a phone call that both of us were on that it was 100% a sperm issue.
Oh, God. That's got to fucking, even though everyone's like, it's nothing to do with you, it's just got to really just knock you off.
And he has been so stressed lately and traveling all the time. Our doctor was basically like, if you implement some lifestyle changes, your count will probably go up because sperm regenerates every 1 to 2 months. Whereas women are just born with all the eggs they'll ever have.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks universe. So he has started going to acupuncture.
That's great.
He is quitting smoking.
He smoked?
He smokes.
I didn't
present
know
tense
that
Kate.
Wait, like actual cigarettes or vaping? Smokes, not like one is better or worse than the other, but
he smokes cloves. Like a 19-year-old.
Oh,
he
no.
Smokes cloves, which by the way are illegal in New York City.
Oh, they are?
Yes.
Why? Cuz they're so bad.
Cuz they're
for
like
you?
Flavored and they appeal to younger people.
Well, you can't, I smoked them in college.
Yeah, you can't sell flavored cigarettes in New York. Anyway.
He smokes cloves.
He has cut down, but he has never quit entirely.
I never knew that.
And now it's like, okay, now you got to do this. He's going to therapy. He's going to lose some weight. I told him it's just a hop, skip, and a jump over to sheet mask land.
I mean, let's get him in. Let's get him into that land.
That's what I'm talking about.
I do think I think there's a lot of value in that for men too.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I mean, there's just not a culture of self care.
No, no. And he also is someone who has never taken very good care of himself physically, but is also like a giver and a provider and like wants to just make other people happy. Mm. I know. And I think just never did those things for himself. So I'm curious to see where this journey is going to take him.
Good for you for just being a role model.
I'm trying, Kate.
The cloves have got to go.
They are disgusting.
I mean, I will say, though, they were delicious.
Yeah,
I
sure.
Mean, delicious and killing and a killer.
Yeah.
I just remember that, like, that taste of cloves.
Mm-hmm.
But it's terrible for your body.
Yes.
Oh, that was a good deep breath.
Thank you.
So congratulations.
Oh, thanks, Kate.
On?
I quit my job.
That's such a big deal. It's such a big deal. Quitting a job is such a huge.
I mean, talk about self-care.
I mean. I mean, that's a huge decision.
Yeah.
And a big life change.
Big life
and it's
change.
Not just career. It's friendships and.
Yeah.
Mentors and everything. Yeah. That's just a huge thing. You seem excited though.
I am excited. I think that I am nervous enough that it will like spur me to like get shit done and like earn money. You know what I mean?
Because you have quit your job not for another job.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not taking another full-time job. I'm going to do other things. And I think I'm like really excited, but I'm also nervous because like I'm not going to have steady income. I'm not going to have a place to go every day. Like all of these things that are the upside of having a full-time job, I'm not going to have anymore. And so I'm a little nervous about that, but I think being a little nervous about that is good. If I was just like, whatevs.
Yeah, like, you wouldn't.
But that's also like not my personality. But yeah, I'm excited. I'm like, I feel like I'm entering a new chapter.
You are.
Yeah.
You just don't know what
the rest is still unwritten.
Feel the rain. You're going to drive a convertible up the coast from Laguna to LA and start your new life with your new roommate.
I used to have a convertible.
That's right.
I got rid of it.
No, I know sometimes I have quit jobs without a plan in my 20s, which was not a good idea because I didn't understand how much money I would need to have a little time where I need to look for another job.
Yes.
So after I made that mistake as a 25-year-old, I then always have left a job for something else. And it can be a real like plunge of faith, not even a leap, but a plunge to know that something has come to its natural end.
Yeah.
But not have like the next thing, you know. I mean,
totally.
There are many things on the horizon for you, but not like what we think of as like a secure next step. And I don't know if you're experiencing this, but I have. Is burnout is a real thing.
Yes, and I don't think I realized I had burnout.
It's a legitimate. I used to like scoff at celebrities when they would end up in the hospital from exhaustion, and then I actually had a moment where I was like, oh, yeah, were I famous, I think that's what I would need to do right now.
My husband, I think, had exhaustion. He was flying to New York every weekend.
Yeah.
And then working a job with insane hours during the week. But I think I had burnout.
Yeah.
And I was like unable to really function. I wasn't producing that much at my job. I felt completely paralyzed. And I was like, this is not good. Coupled with all the IVF shit, it was just like, I can't do this anymore. I've been in this job for 6 years, which is the longest I've been in any job. And yeah, like our podcast is going well.
Oh, we are taking off.
I want to keep doing it and, you know, make it more of a thing. And I hopefully will write another book. And, you know, I should also say I'm very fortunate to be in a position where, like, my partner is very supportive of my decision to quit my job. And, you know, we will be able to continue to pay our rent.
I mean, that's the biggest thing is finances.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you can't, you know, let's be very upfront here. You can't quit a job if you don't have a cushion. So that's, yeah.
So I'm fortunate that I have that safety net. But yeah, I'm excited.
I am too.
So
means we can have lunch in the middle of the day.
Exactly, Kate.
That's the whole reason
that was
for
why
leaving your job.
I quit my job. No, I'm excited for like work dates and stuff. And with you.
Great. You can work in my garage with me. Watch me talk to my dog. Drink 30 LaCroix.
Oh, I wish I could bring Bo over.
Maybe they could be a big friend dog, big dog, small dog friends. No?
Maybe. I don't know. I just don't know how he would do. And he's so big.
She's scared of big dogs.
Yeah. And I want him to have dog friends.
If anyone wants to set up their dog, Dory's dog. If you know, like a really great, calm, big dog,
big
neutered,
big lady dog, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that would be best. Anyway, so yeah, so all of that is happening. I think it will be good for my mental health. And yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Kate, you also have had some revelations lately.
Have I?
Yeah, I think
I don't
you
know
have.
If I have. This week, look, I'm still not sure how to even put into words what I've been feeling. But I think I've brought it up on this podcast before, is how I have some unhealthy habits in terms of news consumption.
Yeah.
Getting really agitated about the state of the world. And I am constantly reflecting on how I can be a politically engaged person, because that is self-care for me, contributing to society in a larger way. And mm-hmm. I'm trying to do more of it. I feel like I haven't done nearly enough. And so I'm trying to take steps where I'm finding more positive ways to be a more involved member of society.
But can I ask you something?
Yes.
When is it enough?
Well, look, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not like, you know, Shannon Watts or DeRay or a person who is a full-time, you know, activist
right.
who's really changing the landscape. And I obviously, you know, I work and I have two children, but I also feel like it's important for me as a person to be contributing something.
Yeah.
To be an ally.
Yeah.
To be aware of systems of oppression, especially because I'm a white, heterosexual, cis woman.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy for me to be complacent.
Mm-hmm.
So these are all things that I think about a lot, and I've thought about a lot since the presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is that veers into like unhealthy habits for me, where I have mentioned...
Yeah.
I will put on the news on my phone and just flip between CNN and MSNBC for like hours listening to it. It's a lot of like the refreshing of Twitter, but in the way of like, when I hit refresh, like there's going to be a new revelation.
Oh.
That feeling of like, more information is going to come up. So, another thing I do that's really unhealthy is I seek out things on Facebook, memes, conservative memes that will make me mad.
Okay,
and then no. I let myself stew and think about them and think about responses and getting like, and those are actions that don't actually like contribute anything
yeah.
to the world. So I have been trying to figure out like positive ways to become more involved
yeah.
that don't involve like mindless, like just rage. Cause that hurts my health.
Mm-hmm.
But actually like being, you know, I've done more volunteering this year and gotten more involved with certain groups and have helped, you know, canvas and make phone calls for different local campaigns here in California. And those things leave me feeling empowered.
That's awesome.
Positive most of the time. And you're around other people who are really interesting and inspiring and are doing all these really great things. So this is a balance for me, trying
yeah.
to figure out what's the healthy way of being an involved, aware person and what's the unhealthy
mm-hmm.
way. And, you know, like the feeling of if I'm not on Twitter, then I'm missing news stories and then I'm not aware. And like, that's not actually true.
Right.
I don't know. This is a struggle I have, Dory. I feel like it's come up a lot.
I have to say, Kate, I really admire all of the activism that you do.
I don't do that much.
No, but you do. You're always like going to bake sales and
so like very suburban activism.
No, but like whatever. You went to a march today.
I did.
I mean, come on. Like, and honestly, insignificant reason for quitting my job was because I was not allowed to be politically active because I am a journalist. And I found that, especially in our current political climate, to be incredibly frustrating, and it made me feel impotent. And I am really looking forward to being more politically active.
I love that.
Thank you.
I'll get you involved.
I can't wait.
I also want to say that I think I talk about this approximately 5.2 times per episode of Forever 35, but the thing that has gotten me through my moments of like devastation at things happening in the world around me is literally like opening up a jar of skin oil and inhaling it. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Kate,
when
when
people write about how skincare is frivolous, I'm like, well, actually,
yeah,
kind of keeps me sane.
Literally.
I'm right.
Yeah.
So if anybody out there is going, and I also don't, I don't want to, you know, it's never enough, right? So like this one small thing that you can do that you feel is helpful is enough.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of pressure that we put on ourselves to be like doing 8 million things. Yeah. And there's also numerous things wrong in the world.
And yes, and I also think
you can't solve every single one individual is not going to solve all of them.
Correct. And I think that there's a lot to be said for like the activism of daily moments, you know, like
it's beautiful.
Thank you. Like if you see someone being a racist asshole, like
yeah.
say something. If you know, if you see injustice in your daily life, like actually be the ally, you know, and that's something that I try to do. I think it's, you know, it's not just about, it is about giving the money and showing up and going to the marches. But I think it's also about these things that all of us can do in our daily lives. So on that note, I think we're going to hear from our sponsor.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. In the midst of sleep, pictures come to me, memories. Lost in my veins. If you broke my heart, very near the start, do I sink alone like a stone? Today's episode is brought to you by Merge Records, the label that in its nearly 30 years of existence has been home to many great bands, including The Magnetic Fields, Spoon, and Neutral Milk Hotel.
On March 2nd, Tracy Thorne of Everything But The Girl returns with Record, her first solo album since 2012's Tinsel and Lights. Record features what Tracy describes as 9 feminist bangers, including the singles Queen, which you just heard a snippet of, and Sister.
Also look for critically acclaimed albums from Superchunk and Waxahachie and check out upcoming releases from Y-Oak and new duo Tracy Ann and Danny.
Visit MergeRecords.com to learn about, listen to, and shop for music by these artists and many others. Plus, listeners of this podcast get 20% off any order using coupon code FOREVER35. And as always, domestic shipping is free.
Again, go to MergeRecords.com and enter FOREVER35 at checkout to get 20% off your purchase. Merge Records, home of independent music since 1989. Now back to the show. And we're back.
And today our guest is Priyanka Matu. We are very excited to have Priyanka Matu here with us today.
Hi, Priyanka, thanks.
Welcome. I'm going to read a bio that I've crafted from the internet.
Well, I mean,
mostly it's cribbed from your website.
Yeah,
this so is my impeccable internet researching is just stealing other people's content. Priyanka is a comedy writer and director here in Los Angeles. She was formerly an agent at UTA and WME, which, if you are not familiar with the agenting world, are two of the biggest. Agents,
biggest and best.
Biggest, brightest, all the stars. Mm-hmm. And she also was Jack Black's partner at their production company, Electric Dynamite. She holds degrees in Italian and law, which is amazing, from the University of Michigan.
But not Italian law.
No, thank God.
No, but you know what? Sky's the limit.
It's true.
It could happen. And Priyanka grew up in India, England, and Saudi Arabia before moving to the States in high school. And she now lives here in LA with her husband and her son, who is 4. Mm-hmm. She also has a column on splitsider.com about working in the entertainment biz. And it's very useful. And she wrote and directed the short film, The Homestay. Priyanka.
Hi.
Welcome to Forever 35.
Sure. You were an early adopter.
What do you mean?
Of Forever 35.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember, I think Jane told me about it, about the idea. And I was like, I'm in.
Yeah.
I was like, what do I need to do?
This
is absolutely up my alley.
Yeah. So welcome.
I like to take care of myself.
You look great.
Thank
Your
you.
Your skin is radiant.
Thank you.
And you also have a nice lip like color on right now.
It's my signature lip. It's just like a Maybelline stain that I've used for 10 years, maybe more.
Oh, what is? Can you give us the name?
It's just the Maybelline. I mean, I brought it with me.
Oh, okay. We will get that on the table. Yeah, we'll
that's
get
important.
It on the table.
No, I have all my stuff. I figured I should come prepared.
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah.
I just love the idea of having a product for 10 years. That's as long as I've been married to my husband.
Yeah, maybe longer. Like, I wore it at my wedding.
It's a great color.
Thanks. I was like, this is the only thing that's ever worked for me. And I eat my lipstick. So I just, it never leaves. I put it on in the morning and it's on all day.
Oh, we all got to get this Maybelline stain. So Priyanka, as you know, if you've listened to the podcast, we always kick off our interviews just checking in with our guest about a self-care routine that they have in their life, which, as we've said many times, can literally be anything in the world. But we have found that people tend to have at least one thing that they do on a somewhat repetitive basis that brings them a little calm in their lives. Do you have such a thing? Numerous
things?
I do.
I'm very systematic about my self-care. Probably because I have a kid, and maybe before it was just all self-care. It was a lot of like, I slept 10 hours a night and I, you know, all that kind of stuff. And just like laid around reading all the time. But then I had him and everything exploded. And then I was like, will I ever read again? Will I ever cook again? And so I now have like these systems in place. I'm really anal about them where for example, every Saturday morning I take off. My husband and my son have like an adventure and do whatever. And I have the entire morning to myself. So I go work out. First I sleep in. Then I work out. It's always the same. I go work out and I meet a friend for brunch. And then I like sneak back into the house while they're gone and I just lie in bed and read. And then they come home around lunchtime. After lunchtime.
That's a great morning.
It's a great morning.
Did you have to kind of speak up to your spouse and say like, I need a chunk of time by myself. I'm starting to feel like I'm losing a piece of myself or too tired or whatever it was that kind of triggered the need?
Well, the honest response is that I had terrible, terrible postpartum depression and anxiety. And I started going to therapy probably when he was almost a year old because I just couldn't. I was a wreck. And she she made it sound very simple. She was like, well, what do you need? What do you need? I was like, I just need some time to myself where I'm not in charge of everything. She was like, you don't have to be in charge of it. Everything, you have a partner. And I was like, I'm very controlling. But she was like, what if you just had a few hours a week? What about a Saturday? When is he around? What about a Saturday morning? And I was like, that sounds great. And I went home and I proposed it. And Rodney was like, of course, like anything I can do to help. So you're not just moping around the house and like yelling at me all the time, which is basically how I was managing my situation. A lot of yelling.
And did it help? When was that the fix for your postpartum? Or was it?
It wasn't the postpartum event, you know, it was partly the hormones lifted over time. But it was partly just getting my life back in order and having all the things that I needed from before time to myself. I'm an introvert, it turns out, and I need a lot of recharge time. Mm. And when someone's always touching you and asking for things, or two people are always touching you and asking for things, that can be very depleting. So it turns out I need a lot of alone time.
Which is very hard to get when you're a parent.
Yeah.
It's really, really hard.
Yeah, it's super, super hard, especially with a small child.
Yeah.
So there's all this guilt about, you know, I put him in school when he was two and he goes for a full day. But I was like, I need it. I need it to work. I need it to live. And I have my Saturdays. And now we're starting a thing more on Wednesdays. And everyone's like, you're so systematic about this. But on Wednesdays is my like girlfriend dinner night. So I don't have to put him to bed. I just like Rodney will put him to bed. And that's amazing every Wednesday. And I get the whole day and the whole evening to myself.
Every Wednesday you go out to dinner with girlfriends?
Yes. Or a girlfriend or someone I haven't seen in a while.
Right. You just know? Have that night
that's
blocked
out. That's the night. That's the night. I know that everything's taken care of. And and I go see someone I haven't seen in a while.
I feel like we assume that these kinds of things are just supposed to happen organically.
Yeah, they don't.
And they, especially as you get older and you have more and more responsibilities, they really don't.
No, you have
like,
to
make that time.
Yeah.
I schedule everything. And that really, to me, sort of made, that like put the pieces of my brain back together. Date night, you know, we go out every Saturday night. Which we had to tweak because originally we had the sitter, like I said, we would have the sitter come from like 7 to 11 and then I'd be exhausted the next day. So now she comes from 5 to 10. We have an early dinner. We do something fun and I'm asleep by 10:30. So he wakes up at 6 at the latest, you know.
Your son.
My son, yeah.
I'm also going out to dinner with my husband this coming weekend, and the reservation that I made is for 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I was like,
because you can get in anywhere at 5 o'clock, yeah. And it's awesome.
We're going to be home by like 9.
God, it's the best.
And that sounds like a perfect night.
It's a dream.
Yeah. Because getting the when you would go out till 1 a.m. and then your child is up at 5 or even 2 or whatever, you know, you then become resentful of the date night.
I don't have children and I can't even imagine staying out till 1 a.m.
I know you, Kate, you did it.
I did it the
what
other night.
What were you doing?
That's a good question.
Yeah, what were you doing?
Maybe just like having a drink at a bar, you know, or I think there is also a little bit after you have kids, we're just like we were before.
Right.
And then there's that feeling of also having kids comes with, you're also getting older. So there's not just one thing, like, you don't have to have kids to be tired as a person. There's many other challenges in life that can exhaust you. But I think there is a little bit of trying to reclaim maybe what was once your life. I don't know. I haven't analyzed myself that
much
in that way.
But fall for that every once in a while and you're like, nope, this is not worth it.
Yes. And I don't think, I mean, as a person who doesn't have kids, but still doesn't want to stay out till 1 a.m. like that, a lot of that part of our lives, I think, is kind of gone for now. Right. Like we're not staying out till 1 anymore.
I mean, I think it's also like I am older and don't have kids. Like, I think if I had had kids at 28 or whatever, I would feel like something, I was missing something.
Right.
And now I'm just like, I'm ready for that phase where,
that's also your peers. Like everyone you know isn't staying out till 1. Everyone is, you know, meeting up at a certain time and the cycles change.
Can I ask a question about your scheduling?
Yes.
Does your husband, does he have his own scheduled nights out? Is that not something he needs or?
He does need. And that's the thing we're working on, is to try and be systematic about the time he gets off. He works a lot. He's a writer and a director and a producer. So he's directing a movie right now. And that means every morning, every night, every weekend, he's working basically. So to try and find his sort of 3 hours to just go get a massage or something, we need to be more systematic about that for sure. But he gets called into work a lot. So
yeah.
So yeah, he needs it. And I'm trying to show, you know, I'm like, I've benefited from it. I think it would benefit you. But that's the next step, I think. He's a giver. So he's just like, I don't know. Yeah, I know it's really sweet, but it's going to burn him out.
I wanted to ask about your career switching.
Yeah.
Because you were an agent.
Constant reinvention.
Well, but I think that's a really, you know, like my father, for example, retired this year and he's now getting a master's degree. And I do think there's constant times in our lives where one career naturally comes to an end and we could start something entirely different. So I'm curious, how long were you an agent for? And then what inspired a shift in your career?
I will tell you. I started out pre-med.
Oh,
my parents are scientists. My mother has a PhD in botany and my father is an academic doctor. He's a pediatric nephrologist. That's a kidney specialist. So they're very hardcore scientists. They've always been researchers and they've always been, there's like a lot of math and science at our house. So it was always assumed, and I loved math and science, and I assumed that I would be a doctor as well. So I started, the beginning of my journey was pre-med.
Wow.
And now I'm writing and directing. So the beginning of my journey was pre-med, and then I realized that I was interested in so many things. I've always been a big reader, and I had lived in Italy for a little while, and I knew that I couldn't just give up the rest of my life. I saw my dad's life, and I was like, okay, if I want to be great at this, everything else is done. Like, that's it. Everything else is wiped out. And I didn't know that I could do that. So I'd actually taken all the pre-med classes and I sort of went home to my parents and I said, I don't think I can apply to med school. And I just can't do it. There are so many other things I want to do. And they were like, what? And we had this crazy negotiation where I was like, maybe I'll get a PhD in Italian literature. And they were like, absolutely not. That's crazy. No, it's so competitive. And no way, that's a horrible life. And then I said, okay, law school. And they were begrudgingly accepted law school. They said, well, who goes to law school? I said, well, you know, presidents.
So then how did that lead to agenting?
Well, there were, once I started law school, basically 1 week in, I was so young. I was 21 maybe.
Wow.
I just wanted to keep going to school because I wasn't ready to work. So I was 21 and I knew I hated it. I really hated it. But I knew I needed something practical because all I had was a degree in Italian. So I was like, you know, I'll go to school for 2 more years while I figure out what it is I really want to do. And then toward the end, I knew I didn't want to work at a firm and a friend of mine was moving out here. I really wanted to work in publishing. Again, I've always loved reading. I'm a big reader. But I knew that wasn't going to be stable and I couldn't live in New York on $20,000 a year and pay my loans and all that stuff. So I started learning about the agency world, and I thought that could be interesting, honestly, just like as a lark. I was only 23, so that's the age where you go, all right, well, I'll try it out.
Right.
So my friend Sarah was moving out here, and I also moved, and I started in the mailroom at UTA, and I loved it. It was, you know, there's so much going on. There was free reading.
Can I interrupt for people who are not in the entertainment industry?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No. For every agent, which are people who represent actors, writers, directors, producers, and help get them work. You start in the mailroom.
Yes,
that is
everyone.
Where every person starts, which is, I don't know any other industry where that's
the
routine.
Yeah. It's an apprenticeship. So. You kind of have to. There's no way. I mean, I saw agents come in. I saw agents come in that had done other things, and it was just a joke. Like, people would come in having been lawyers, and they leave immediately. You can't do their job, really, unless you've been there from...
You built up from the bottom. Yeah. So you started in the mailroom at UTA.
I started in the mailroom at UTA. I got promoted pretty quickly. I started working for this woman, Sharon. Her name's now Sharon Jackson, and she represented a lot of people who are about to be movie stars. She had one movie star, and that was Jack Black. And the rest of her clients were like Jason Segel before Sarah Marshall came out, and Jonah Hill before Superbad came out, Amy Poehler when she started on SNL.
She had good taste.
She's a great, we're very, very close, and she was absolutely my mentor. And I started working for her as a terrible assistant, but she liked me as an asset, so she promoted me. And I was an agent for 5 years. She went to Endeavor eventually, and I went with her because I worked with all of her clients. So, yeah, I represented actors for a while. Yeah.
And what was it that made you decide that that was no longer for you?
Because I would get so close to the fun stuff and then no more, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I represented a lot of great... I started signing my own people. So my first client was Ellie Kemper.
Oh,
and then, yeah, she's the greatest. And then my second client was Kumail Nanjiani, who built this house. Lays that one downstairs. And then Jenny Slate. And so I love that part too. I loved I have always had a weird thing where I can see people and say, you're going to be famous. I've had that since I was little. I remember, like, for example, the first time I saw Leonardo DiCaprio on Growing Pains when I was little, and I couldn't have been more than, I'm not even kidding. I couldn't have been more than like 10. And I was like, that guy's going to be famous. And my parents were like, what are you talking about? But I knew, and I've always been able to. I still, like, I'll meet young people and they're like, am I going to be okay? And I'm like, yes or no.
Oh, like, do you tell them no?
So far, it hasn't happened because I usually read a sample or watch something. So I won't really meet you unless I think you're going to be fine.
Right.
Which is kind of sad. But I still help people out all the time and get them agents. And the nice thing is I have, you know, I have my network of former colleagues. So if I meet a young writer, I can say, sign this person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still like to help in that way. But yeah, I got so close and no closer. And so I thought, well, let me go learn how to make stuff. So I went, I tried to quit every year, by the way. I tried to quit my job every year. And they were like, here we are. We'll give you more money. And then 5 years later, I was offered this job with Jack. And I escaped. And that was really fun because I learned how to develop material, make scripts better. I've always only worked in comedy. So make scripts better, make some stuff that I was really proud of. Work with Jack, who's just a dream. He's the nicest, best human in the whole world that I've ever met. And that was really fun, too, because I got to build a business sort of from the ground up. It was just me and him. And then even that was like not. And then I had a baby and I was like, wait, that's not quite exactly what I wanted. So really, I've just been like inching closer and closer to like not my PhD in Italian literature, but like the least practical thing I could ever do, which is like decide to write and direct comedy.
Was there ever a time where you were like, I'm too old? I don't know. Like, why am I doing this?
No.
Have you? You've never had any self-doubt in that way. That's so cool.
No,
so awesome.
There's some self-doubt, but not the age thing. I think, frankly, I was talking to a couple of girlfriends of mine, especially, I mean, women who've always wanted to direct. And I was like, well, no one's going to listen to you until you're 40 anyway. You know? Some like 22-year-old kid shows up and tries to tell you what to do. And you're like, no, thanks. But I think now's a good time to direct. I've got so much set experience and it was really fun to do it. And it was weird. Yeah. I feel like I finally found my calling. That sounds cheesy, but the day I started directing my short, it felt like everything finally fell into place. I've had every other job and I've done every other thing.
That's amazing.
And then day one was like, yep, this is it.
Ugh, that's such a good feeling.
I think I've always also had in my mind, who knows how true this is, but they say like Julia Child didn't learn how to cook till she was 40, you know?
I think that is true.
Yeah, because she moved to Paris when she was, 40. Yeah.
Those are my favorite stories of it's like, there's some writer who, I can't remember who it is now, but who's always like, they didn't publish their first book or their first piece until they were 40-something years old. I'm like, oh, okay,
well,
great.
Well, we're in this culture that like venerates youth.
Right.
And so
every under 20 and under 30 list.
Under 30.
30 under 30, which I feel like when we were under 30, we're not as big of a deal. Like, no. I don't remember this hullabaloo around the 30 under 30 list. And now maybe because they literally put like 600 people on it now. I kind of get this feeling that if you're under 30 and you're not on the list and you're sort of like a creative person, like people act like, you know, they like their dreams have been crushed. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
It's a weird thing to like draw a line in the sand at an age in a way that's about valuing someone's success. I mean, I do think it's amazing that people accomplish a lot of things when they're younger, but I also think it doesn't leave room for valuing success older. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, also like our culture loves prodigies.
Yeah.
That's true.
So. It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor article makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article, and I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time, and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping, and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters. And then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs. Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. I mean, you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Anyway.
You know what?
Okay. No, it's true. My husband was a comedy prod. Like, he's going to hate me for saying this. But he, you know, Rodney wrote on Letterman when he was 21.
Whoa.
And he was head writer when he was 23.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So imagine that, right? Imagine that.
That is, when I was 23, I mean, that's all I need to say. I was I was not doing anything productive at 23.
Yeah.
Was he a 30 under 30?
I'm sure he was too busy to even notice.
Right.
He was working until, but he was super supportive too. I mean, from the beginning, he's been like, why aren't you writing? That's what you want to do. And I was like, no, I'm happy supporting other people's dreams. Thank you. Like, just take a second, you know, think about what you really want to do.
I think sometimes too, it takes a long time to know ourselves.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, sometimes it takes, I mean, I've definitely found personally, it takes a lot of like wrongs to figure out the right thing.
Yeah.
Right? It takes a lot of trial and error.
Yeah. Well, I've always like also only moved a step over, right? So I've just moved closer and closer to the camera, frankly.
Just
and
shuffling your way.
Yeah. And so that by the time, I mean, yes, it's my first, I'm directing my, you know, I directed my first thing and now I'm hopefully just about to direct my second thing. But the experience is all there. Like I can cast anything. I know how to develop great material. I know my timing. I've been around it so much that it's like all the pieces have finally come together. So
what is it like being the person in charge and directing and having
way better than producing? Because producing, you're always like running around fixing problems. And it was so much better to just make creative decisions and have someone else fix the problems. Yeah, it was wonderful. There were things I didn't even know were happening. I was like, oh, there's a permit issue. Nobody told me. And they're like, yeah, you're directing.
Oh,
it's so nice.
That's nice.
That is nice.
Yeah.
To completely switch gears.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to talk about your skincare routine. Oh,
bust out that Maybelline stain.
Your skin is radiant.
Thank you. I take it very seriously.
And I would like to hear about how you take it seriously.
And also why? So what is it?
Why?
What is my motivation?
My mother's my motive. My parents actually both. My mother has always said you only get one face. It's like you will get fatter, you will get thinner. You will dress badly, you will dress well. You get one face. And you better take care of it.
We got to get your mom on this podcast. Yeah.
She has a lot of things to say about everything all the time. Where's my makeup? Gosh, I hope I didn't leave it at home. I mean, I brought my other stuff. The skincare routine, again, I'm very systematic about. I have a facialist. I go to her 3 times a year and she just tweaks whatever I'm dealing with. And I also just, I am very clear with her. I don't like a long routine. I don't like a lot of products. Mm. If she adds a product to the rotation, I make her take one away. Because I just won't. I can't do more than a couple of things. I won't remember or I like get distracted. So, and my skin has changed so much over time. It used to be dry, then I had a baby and now it's like greasy and I break out all the time. My pregnancy made me really, I broke out constantly. And now, God forbid, I have like any dairy. It's just,
oh, wow.
It's really bad. I can't really have dairy anymore. But I wash in the morning and night with cosmetics. Are you guys familiar with cosmetics?
No. That's the name of the line?
Mm-hmm.
Here, we can pause and you can dig around.
Yeah, because I don't want
to. I would love it if you're like, I use cosmetics, like just a general.
I use cream.
Yes, look at this. Oh my God.
This is my skincare stuff and this is my makeup. This is my makeup bag. So as you can see, I don't like a lot of stuff. This is my lip stuff.
I'm raising my hand with a question. Is this everything?
This is everything.
Okay, so already you are living a very clutter-free...
I don't like clutter.
Okay, I need to teach us. Okay, so because for listeners to know, Priyanka has 2 bags on the table, 1 bag of like skincare products, 1 bag of makeup, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay.
I moved a lot growing up, and it was just like a lot of purging. There's so much purging and moving. I mean, 30 times, just like throw everything away. So I can't have too much stuff. I need to keep track of everything.
Wow.
So I start here. Let's start here. So I wake up in the morning. I wash my face with Cosmetics Benefit Clean Gentle Cleanser. It's like $20. And then I put on this. My facialist makes a stem face cream,
ooh,
which she mixes herself, which I use morning and night,
ooh,
and it has, smells really good.
It has a label that you make like on a label maker.
Yes,
on it.
Yeah,
which means it is legit.
She's very picky about her packaging.
That is so cool. This facial person mixes mm-hmm. it herself like in a vat. She's just like stirring.
No, she's like legit. She has like a lab make it for her, but she always has these stacks in her her office.
Can I smell it?
Of course. I think it smells delicious. I'm very.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. I don't like scents really. So that's another thing. That's why I can't have a lot of things.
And that's your morning and night cream.
Okay. Yeah, that's my morning and night. And then I spray this on during the day, which is awesome, I think. The cosmetics reflect the SPF. Because apparently, the rookie mistake apparently is using the moisturizer and the SPF in the same thing. You have to put the SPF on top of the moisturizer. Because otherwise, you're just going to clog your pores. And the moisturizer is never as good. And the SPF is never as good.
Mm-hmm.
So that you want the separate. So
where do you get the cosmetic stuff?
Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah. And I love it. They have other stuff too, which is really great. Everything I've tried from there is awesome. And then this is the intense stuff. This is the eye, the Retrouvé Revitalizing Eye Concentrate.
Oh, what?
Jenny was telling me about this.
I don't want to tell you how much it costs. But I don't spend a lot of money on stuff.
No, you've got four skincare products basically total.
And these are like 20. Well, this is expensive. This is expensive. But this I got at my last facial, which is in October. And there's, I'm getting another facial in a couple weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So this usually lasts me 4 months.
So you buy one cream once every 4 months. You buy a cream.
Yes. I buy a cream every 4 months. And this has actually lasted me six.
This is the eye cream. It's interesting to me that the most expensive product, the thing that you're like, I'm going to splurge on, is the eye cream. Because I am not an eye cream believer.
I never was until this. And I swear it works. It did how it give one of my friends hives, you might want to test it first. But I love this stuff. It's by the woman. It's by this like intense woman who used to own Kiehl's, I guess. It's like the Kiehl's family.
Wow.
And she makes this stuff and you use the tiniest, like it's not even the head of a pin. It lasts forever. I mean, I've had that bottle for 6 months and it's still going. If I buy two of those a year.
I mean, listen, this is when you just have to pick
You pick
your
thing.
Yeah, it might be the
and
eye cream.
You might not buy shoes for the year and you buy this Retrouvé Revitalizing Eye Concentrate. What does it do? Like what makes you a believer?
Like, preserves everything, I feel like. Like all I've really wanted from her is to make my face, like keep my face looking the same. I've been going to her for, I don't even know.
This is your facialist.
Yeah, probably 10 years. I've been going to her for 10 years. And I was like, just keep me looking the same without, I don't want injection. I don't want like any of that crap. And she doesn't. She's just like, here's this.
Did she recommend this, eye concentrate?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. She gave me a sample first and I was like, I'm totally on board. She also, there's another thing. There's like a face cream that she gave me a sample of, which is also like more expensive. And that was, it was nice, but it wasn't, I was like, I'm not spending, no, that's too much, but I'll spend on the, after I used this for a little while, I did notice. It really helped. I was starting to get, I'm just tired, you know, like I've got the kid and he doesn't like to sleep. And so I was getting sort of wrinkly and dry and puffy around here. And it seems to undo a lot of the damage that living does. I know.
I love it.
Yeah. I didn't tell my mother. I texted my mom and I was like, what? And this is my mom would fully be supportive. But I was like, what do you think is too much to spend on eye cream? I'm an immigrant, so I don't spend money ever. Like it makes me very uncomfortable. And she was like, I don't know, like $200. And I was like, what about more? She was like, does it work? And I was like, it does. She was like, then it doesn't matter. Then it doesn't matter. I was like, okay. But she was like, you also don't spend money on anything. So if like your entire nut for product over the course of a year is $800, like who cares?
And is your mom also like does she have her own skincare practice that you grew up?
Yeah. We have very different skin. I actually have my father's skin. My father hasn't. By the way, like, we can talk about skin care all we want. I know that I'm, you know, not lucky because my dad has never seen a wrinkle or a zit, really, you know. So wow. I have my dad's skin for sure. And the olive helps, you know, that's sun protection. My mother's very fair. She's like your color.
Oh,
and
wow.
So she has very different needs. Mm-hmm. But she's always like stayed out of the sun and taken really good care of herself. She's always like mixing her own ointment. She's a botanist. So yeah. It's been a lot of, and talk about an early adopter. She was like the kind of person who was always like sprouting in our fridge and like she had always heard of food trends and extracts and stuff before anyone was talking about them because she loves her plants. So she would always mix together potions. I would come home with a zit or like dry skin and she'd be like, oh, well, and she'll put together like some honey and some yogurt and some lemon juice and some whatever, you know, an herb, like cut a thing off a plant and like grind it up, put it on my face. So she's very.
Do you do any of that stuff?
No. I just can't. It's too much for me. Yeah. I need my like.
You need your system.
I need my system. What is, as you can tell.
What is in your
I
makeup?
I need my system.
Because your makeup bag is also my sparse. Makeup.
Yeah. This is my lip. This is my lip.
That's
I have it in two shades. I have the like, it used to be called Sienna. Now it's called something else insane. So it's still So Sienna. Okay. They took a departure for a second. And then this is my red. This is what I wear when I'm pitching. It's it's my pitching lipstick. It's called Keep Up the Flame. These are like $9.
And those are 24, Maybelline, like 24-hour lip stains.
Yes, 24-hour lip stains. They work great. And then they have this like moisturizing thing at the end, which, ooh. Yeah, so it doesn't feel dry or tacky.
I gotta get one of those.
I'm running out to buy those.
Yeah, yeah, they come in every color and they're amazing. And then this is my eyeliner, which I found on the Facebook page.
Shout out to the group.
Yes, so amazing. Yay. I had been looking for just a regular black crayon eyeliner. And I tried a few of them. And this, L'Oreal Infallible Never Fail Eyeliner has been amazing. And then, Maybelline. I guess I'm a Maybelline gal. Full and Soft Mascara. My perfume. Yeah, that's from Lil Labo. And then if I get pimples, which happens sometimes, I sprout them. I have this light pen.
Oh.
It works.
I have never seen. It's a pen that makes light and then you put it on your face.
Like if you have a zit, you kind of just like hold it.
Kind of zaps
face.
It.
Wait a second. Hold that pose. This is a photo. I like every photo we take of people on the podcast.
Has red light.
Holding lights to their faces.
Yeah. No, it really works.
That's all right. My camera is slow. Very cool. That is neat. Where does that light pen come from?
It's just at the drugstore. It's a Neutrogena thing. And it works really well.
What? You've got a great drugstore makeup stash.
Yeah, you do.
Well, I was reading about like sort of light therapy for acne. And many years ago, I had it was a Tria-esque thing that kind of got rid of. I just sometimes get cystic pimples and then they stick around forever. So it's been a lifelong, journey to try and get rid of them. But the light pen plus the Indian clay is the best.
The Aztec Indian clay.
Yes, that stuff is amazing. Mm-hmm. It'll dry anything out.
Yeah, it really will suck.
Yeah. And especially when I was super pregnant, I couldn't use any of the topical stuff.
Yeah.
You can't use any of that stuff. So the light pen and the Aztec clay were amazing. And then this is great. I don't know if you guys have this, but
That's concealer?
It's,
what is that?
It's a clearing concealer. It has salicylic acid in it. So it was recommended by my friend who's a makeup artist. The Clinique Acne Solutions Clearing Concealer. So if you have a spot, you just put it on and it also clears up your skin.
Oh.
Yeah, because I always feel like I'm smothering it.
Otherwise. Right.
Is that everything? Oh, no, this is my, I love this.
What is that?
Well, I posted about Cure Natural Aqua Gel.
Is this the stuff that like peels your skin off?
Yeah. Although it's not as creepy as it sounds.
I know. I made that sound really weird, but I've heard about this.
Like people think it's like the face baby foot and it's not. Like,
okay.
It's not like that. It's very gentle. And you put it on your face and you let it sit for a few minutes, like 2 minutes or 3 minutes, and then you rub your face and everything just kind of.
Oh, I use something like that from Dr. G.
Yes.
He makes a similar item.
Right. This is apparently the biggest selling beauty product in all of Japan.
Yeah. It's a Japanese product.
Yeah. One bottle sells every like 10 seconds or something like that.
And where do you get
that? Just Amazon. It's like $20. Actually, Terry, my facialist, recommended it. She's like, you won't believe this stuff. And it is amazing because I find I use every other day I use a, what's the thing? The Clarisonic.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes that's a little aggressive.
Yeah.
It makes your skin
I stopped
more
using
oily.
Mine.
Yeah. I just, the less I use it, the better it is. So like in a few days once I'm feeling like crisp, but I've just found it made me more oily, but this stuff just, it just kind of strips that extra layer off and I really like it.
Do you find that doing all this, I know we mentioned you're having postpartum and having these kind of like systems in place, do they help? They just kind of help ground you and calm you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've become like a crazy control freak. Yeah.
No, but this is why when people talk about like kind of make fun of women for liking skincare, it's like it actually serves more of a purpose than just washing a face,
yeah,
right? Like there's something about the routine and the practice that's very calming. I feel like I say
absolutely.
This every episode. Maybe I'm just very defensive.
It's just a little time to yourself too. And it's also, I think, such a reflection. My skin is such a reflection on what's going on inside. It's like if I'm eating badly or if I'm tired or if I'm doing something wrong, my skin is the first thing to go. I'll break out or I'll, you know. So my hair. My hair is very fine and I have to take really good care of it. And I've been taking, what were we talking about? Viviscal for a long time. And then I just stopped. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. And then it started falling out again.
Oh, God.
And I was like, this is terrible. I always had hormonal issues because I had PCOS. So it was always, and then I got my hormones in balance. My hair was fine. And so I went to the doctor and I was like, are my hormones messed up again? And she checked and she was like, it's not that at all. And she keeps, it kind of looks down the paper and it's like, wait a minute, you're really low on stored iron. Your ferritin is really low. She was like, that is actually the leading cause of hair shedding in women.
Oh.
And a lot of women don't know, because especially if you have heavy periods.
Interesting.
Or anything like that, check your iron stores. Because if it's anything under 40, and mine was 17,
ooh,
it'll just fall out. Because you might not be anemic, because the iron level in your blood is fine, but it's because it's pulling it from your follicles.
Oh.
Yes. So your follicles are totally malnourished and everything. So she put me on an iron supplement, and 2 weeks later, it stopped falling out. And now it's like 2 months later and it's all like growing back, which is a miracle because my hair is so annoying.
Oh, good tip. Well, in Priyanka, this has been
educational, enlightening,
comforting,
soothing,
eye-opening.
Yeah, really, truly, all of those things. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. See you at the closest CVS where we can get that list.
I know. I'm like literally going to run out right now.
It's a good one.
Well, Dori.
Yes, Kate.
I will race you to the Maybelline aisle for that.
I mean, I would like shove you aside with my elbow. But then I'd buy you one.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're
friendship.
Welcome.
That lip stain was on point. I loved hearing from Priyanka. She's had such an interesting life.
I also love, you know, as someone who just quit her job, I love all of her reinvention.
As someone who has a weekly intention that involves a lip color, I really also enjoyed our conversation.
Well,
did you see that segue?
I can't wait to hear where this is going.
Okay, here it is.
Hit me.
Okay, so listen, my intention last week, I think, was about dealing with the piles of crap in my
house,
which I did, but now new piles have popped up. So
they're like worms.
They are. I made a terrible joke, which was miles of aisles, more like miles of piles. That's a specific Joni Mitchell live album reference.
Oh, sure.
No one gets it because it's not funny. But that's what I've been saying to myself all day. But here's kind of a weird intention.
Okay, is this next week's intention?
For next week.
For next week. Okay.
Yeah, coming up.
Yes.
I feel like a lot of my intentions have been like, I'm going to do this thing I hate and make myself do it.
Mm-hmm.
Dori,
yes.
I was at your house recently and you had a bag of things you were getting rid of.
I did.
And I pulled out a Chanel lipstick.
Yes.
Now, I would have taken it no matter the color because I'm that kind of person who's like, if it's a Chanel, it's nice. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Anytime it's like fancy brand, I just take it.
I should say also, someone gave this to me.
Okay.
And
have they used it too? Am I the third person?
No. They had some brand partnership with Chanel and gave it to me, and I was very grateful. But I put it on and I was like, I just don't think I'm going to wear this.
It didn't quite feel like me. So I put it in the bag to be given away at a product swap
that but I got has to yet, it first
that has yet to occur.
And let me just say to whoever gave it to you, it's in good, safe hands. Cause I put this on. It's red lipstick, which I don't really normally wear. And I put it on and it was like coming home.
Kate, I came to your live show last night.
I had it on.
And you had it on and you looked good.
I put it on today and someone told me I looked put together. And I was like, you know what? I think it's just this freaking lipstick.
Oh, it's magic. It's like the lipstick, magic lipstick.
It's buttery soft. Mm. It's not drying. Mm. And I also, as a person who's never worn red, I think that I also don't know about skin undertones. I think mine are pink. And I think this has a pinkish, it's like a pink red. And I think it looks good on my skin tone.
You know what? That makes sense because I think I don't have pink undertones.
You might be an orange red person.
So this is all making sense.
So like just things are clicking. And so I was going to try to wear this lipstick every day.
I love that.
And I don't live a lipstick life. I often wear the same clothes 2 to 3 days in a row.
Sure.
Drop my kids off at school looking real greasy. So I have to figure out how this is going to factor into my life.
Yeah.
But I might just try. The lipstick makes me feel good. I didn't know this was going to happen.
I love this so much. I can't even tell you.
I love. And for those who are curious, it's a Chanel Rouge Coco. And the color is number 444 Gabrielle.
Oh,
my new
Gab,
my new best friend. This beautiful product I didn't have to purchase.
I love it.
Do you think I also love it more because it was free? That might be what's happening. I don't think it is, but
I also think sometimes when things are free, like we get rid of them more easily.
That's true. That's also true.
So
not happening here.
So my intention last week was to clean out my bag and or come up with a better bag organization method.
Can I say something?
Yes.
After you set that intention, I did it.
See,
so thank you for that.
You took my intention.
Sorry.
Because I did not do it.
No, you didn't?
Yeah, you stole all my intention energy. You just zapped
it out of me.
You
didn't do it?
No, I didn't do it.
But you could do it tomorrow or tonight.
I could, but you know what? Then I was like, I just quit my job. I'm going to wait.
Good for you.
Thanks. I'm going to wait till I start my new life and I figure out exactly what needs to go on my bag. Because you know, it doesn't need to go on my bag because I won't have them anymore. My BuzzFeed ID card.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, but you know, such is life.
No, it's true. You're about to be a new person in a week.
I am, and a subject for another episode, but I think I'm going to redo my office.
At your home?
At my home.
You have
my
a home
office. Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
So I'm postponing that intention, but I just want to quickly touch on my intention from 2 weeks ago, which was road rage.
Oh, how's that going?
When we initially checked in last week's episode, I don't think I had accumulated enough time in the car to really say whether the intention, you know, had worked. Kate, I am kind of a new woman in the car.
Really?
Yes. And you know why? I listen to classical music.
My suggestion?
Yes.
Oh my God, which is a suggestion I don't do myself.
Okay, I listen to 91.5 KUSC.
That's amazing.
The classical radio station here in Los Angeles. Every afternoon, they have an anti-road rage segment.
Oh my God.
For this like 3 hours during rush hour, they come and they're like, and anti-road rage.
Oh my God.
With Haydn.
Or Haydn.
and it's great. I love it. I get in my car, I turn on my car, and classical music just wafts through the air. And I'm like, I don't have to hear about our president. I don't have to hear about all that stuff. It's just, it gives me that moment. And like, I read the news. I'm an aware person. I don't need it in my ears for those, you know, that half hour, 45 minutes that I spend in the car. I just need that time to not get in an accident.
Dory, that's amazing. And you don't miss like pop music or any, you know, like
no,
whatever.
Because you know what? All the pop music channels have too many commercials.
This is.
And like sometimes I'll listen to Spotify, but I actually like the radio.
I do too, actually.
It's
very soothing.
The radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, anyway, so that has been great. And I'm really trying to, I'm doing the thing that I talked about last week, which is like take a beat. I still talk out loud to people who drive like maniacs, and I'm trying not to do that, but it's hard to break that habit. Like, Jesus Christ, could you signal?
Oh, I've started, since we had that conversation, I flip people off a lot.
It's, oh, wow. Oh,
all the time. And what I've started doing, which is the dorkiest thing I could ever do, is that I channel my anger and then I either wave, instead of flipping people off, I wave at them or I give them the peace sign.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And I just am like,
that's amazing.
Or when people are mad at me, you know how you can tell when someone's driving and they're furious at you?
Yes.
And they give you or they just give you a look or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm responding by waving or giving the peace sign. I'm still swearing.
That's amazing.
I did give the finger to someone like yesterday or today.
That's amazing. That's so good. I love that. I'm going to adopt that.
It's so dorky.
But I love that.
But
I think my version might just be to give them like a huge smile.
It weirdly helps change your emotion. And it also just makes it feel like a lighter moment. Because I'll let like angry interactions on the road bug me for a day.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to give a little update.
I'm going to try that. I'm going to listen to classical.
You should do it.
I will. I'm going to try the way home.
My intention for next week, which is my first week of not working, is to not make any plans.
It's going to be so nice.
And allow myself to just do nothing.
It's going to feel so good. Are you even going to like plan on exercising or plan on, I don't know, like cooking a meal? Like, do you have anything like that? Any structure?
I have one drinks plan one night that is like a rescheduled thing. And that I feel like I shouldn't cancel. But other than that and this podcast, I don't have anything.
And you are, I should say, a pretty regimented and social person.
I am.
You have a lot of activity in your life.
I do. And I don't generally allow myself to just do nothing.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what happens.
I'll probably binge watch like 47 shows.
Got to get into that Queer Eye.
Oh yeah, I want to watch Queer Eye. I
can't stop talking about that.
You have been raving about it.
Oh, it's delightful.
I also started watching The Good Place.
Oh, that's a good one too.
I am enjoying.
The hard thing about binge watching too, like The Good Place is only 2 seasons.
Totally. It's like I wanted to watch The Good Wife.
Oh, that's a long one.
Because I only want to watch shows that have good in the title. Just kidding.
Oh, no, that's worse.
But it has like 6 seasons of like 20. It's a network show, so it has like 22 episodes. It's like, it's too much.
We need to discuss, I think, that TV is self-care. Like a whole, you know who we got? I know who we got to get on for that.
Who?
Danielle.
Oh, brilliant.
I think TV is self-care is a very, we talked about it a little bit with Mary Holland.
Yeah, we did.
With Sex and the City. But it is truly a soothing way of taking care of yourself.
It is.
Like, I mean, again, it's embarrassing and shameful that The Bachelor is that for me, but something about it.
Did you have a TV in your room growing up?
Oh, no way.
Me neither.
It was not allowed, and I had strict TV parents.
Oh.
Like 1 hour a week, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I didn't have a TV in my room, and I think I blame that for making me someone who is not able to really like relax in front of the TV.
Interesting.
That's my theory.
We should also have an episode about like make a list of all the things we can blame on the way our parents raised us. Because I've got some good ones.
Oh, that'll be a great episode.
Tune in, guys. You're going to love it. We just really unleash and unload.
All right. Well, I think that just about does it for this week.
All right. Well, let's just give people places where they can find us.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay, so number one, again, that voicemail, 781-591-0390. I think we should add that if you call us, we might play it in an episode.
Yes, 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 yes.
So just know that.
Just be aware.
Yeah, we
if
don't.
If you prank us, we will play.
Or a regular, just a non-prank.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, you know.
If you prank us, you're done.
It's
you're in.
Fair game.
Yeah, you're on the show.
Yeah.
And then we are on Instagram at Forever 35 Podcast.
Lots of memes happening on that
Dory's
Instagram.
Memeing it up over on the Instagram, and it's amazing. Twitter's Forever 35 Pod.
Yep.
You can email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com. And again, people who are sending in questions and stuff, I'm compiling a massive Google Doc.
Massive.
So we can then address it on some of our
many
episodes.
On our many apps.
Yeah.
And our website is forever35podcast.com.
Sorry about that.
Oh, it's fine.
Thank you, Dory. Great to see you.
Great to see you too.
Bye.
Bye.
Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Kate Spencer and Dory Shafrir and produced and edited by Sammy Junio. Please leave us Apple Podcast reviews. It really helps people find the show.
Next week, we have YA author Jenny Han talking to us all about her makeup routine, her skincare routine, writing YA, a whole bunch of other stuff. It's a really great interview.
Tune in.